Yeah, hi, Sean.
So this morning, you coming from the Refugee Action Council, how are we feeling about this decision from the High Court?
Well, it is extremely disappointing, you know, obviously, but the High Court is an extremely conservative institution, and in the same way that it's previously found that indefinite detention is lawful in Australia, it's now found that the any Australian government has the right to hold detainees, to send asylum seekers, and to maintain them in prisons at, you know, offshore centres like Nauru and Manus Island. Yeah, strange but true. The international law doesn't allow it, I might say, but the Australian law does.
Yeah, the definition of Australian law, that's obviously what the High Court was seeking, a legal definition. Do we understand at this point how they actually came to this decision?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a quick look at the judgment. They really have just got a very straight up and down, you know, interpretation of the Migration Act and the clauses of the Migration Act, you know, which says that once you know, it's been found that it's, you know, regional processing arrangements, so, you know, are lawful, you know, Nauru and Manus Island, then detention in those places at Nauru and Manus Island is actually carried out by the Nauruan government, not by the Australian government. And I think it's at that point that you can see what's the problem with the law. Technically, you know, that may be true. They are on Nauru and there is a Nauruan government there for whatever qualifications might want to place on that. And they're held, you know, by the Nauruan government in a, you know, in a technical way. But it's also obvious to anyone who looks at it that that is a fiction, that the Nauruan government, you know, are paid. They've been politically lent on to allow that detention centre to be placed there. It's funded and maintained. Nothing happens with detention or all the processing of people without the approval of the Australian government and the immigration department. So it's one of those things. There's a technicality, there's a legal fiction, really, that the High Court is hiding behind.
Mm. This is the section we're referring to. A restraint over the liberty of a person is justified in regional processing countries, provided that other laws aren't broken in the process. Why is it, though, that Australian law, the law specific here, is out of step with multinational law?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting point, but that's just generally the case, that although Australia signs up to a range of international conventions, unless those conventions are actually put into Australian law, then they have no force, other than a very, you know, general sense. And the successive Australian governments have been very concerned to exclude, you know, those possibilities. So the, you know, this government under, you know, the year ago, with the legacy bill, you know, has actually removed references to the convention from the Migration Act to try and narrow down the way in which they even, you know, that convention, that international treaty, is going to be interpreted in Australian law. So the Migration Act in Australia really has the same, you know, reasons for why it was put in place in the, you know, in the early, you know, 1900s. It is about, you know, excluding people and ensuring that the government has the power to exclude particularly people who are considered aliens or non-citizens, and that's the way, you know, the law sees asylum seekers.
And Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull's flagged a group of some 160 people to be sent back to Nauru, and obviously this decision from the High Court legally protects it. But amongst that group, we have newborn children. Virtually, we also have that young boy, the five-year-old boy, allegedly sexually assaulted back on Nauru, whose alleged attacker is still working within the vicinity of the camp. So from a legal standpoint, they may be protected, but there is perhaps a ray of light shining through in the fact that just because this is legally decided, they have the power to, that morally this may become difficult. Do you see any arguments being made there that, well, from a moral, from in terms of political cost, this will cost them a great deal if they do go through with sending these people back to Nauru?
I've no doubt that there will be a massive political cost. I think the more people have become aware of the plight of the people, the conditions on the road, the plight of the people who are here, the facts of so many of the cases you've mentioned, the, you know, the five-year-old. We could run through, you know, all, you know, 270 of the people, the women who are victims of you know, sexual assault, the people who have had, you know, complete nervous breakdown because there is no, you know, security on the road. Nauru and no future on Nauru, and are in mental hospitals as we speak because of what they've suffered and what's been inflicted on Nauru. So I think the government has a very serious issue to address, political issue to address. The court can find what it likes, but the moral and ethical dimensions are not settled by the High Court. We've called a protest outside the Immigration Department tomorrow to try and marshal a wider court of public opinion against this decision, and to call for the government to allow the asylum seekers and refugees who are here to stay in Australia.
But ultimately, just as perhaps as a final point, Ian, ultimately the goal that the government set out to do, the current government set out to do, was the very famous slogan, stop the boats, stop the boats, stop the boats, stop the boats. They have stopped the boats. Is there, though, a middle ground we can find here to get the best result for these people that are currently being processed on Nauru while still not encouraging the actual trafficking operations?
Well, I think that's a case, with the terms that that some people put. I mean, it's very clear, that the massive naval operation in the north has turned people back, and we can put that to a side about the consequences of that, about the conditions that people are sent back to. But it does nothing for the people who are in Nauru and and on Manus Island. That their boats are being turned back. Only half the people who arrived by boat are in Nauru and Manus Island. Even the Labor Party, who put into place the Pacific Solution Mark II, are saying it's unconscionable that 2.5 years on that people are still in Nauru and Manus Island with no resettlement arrangements. And that's what the government, has to address. They have got no resettlement arrangements at Nauru, or Manus Island. There will be no outcome. The issue of Nauru and Manus is going to continue to be an issue in Australia, and until that is resolved, I mean, ultimately people, should be brought here to continue to punish people the way they are on Nauru and Manus, is unconscionable.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Ian. Obviously, as we say, a disappointing decision this morning from the High Court on this one, but not necessarily an unexpected one. Do appreciate you coming on and having a bit of a chat with us about it.
Yeah, okay. Thanks very much, Sean.